Blog Talk Radio.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Political Universe Radio Show is on the air. Welcome to week 2, everybody. I'm your host, Jason Eastley, and joining me right now is Will Riddell. Hello, Will.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
That's good.
That's good. You sound like a demented Mr. Rogers. So, did you catch the opening theme music?
Yes, I did.
And?
Awesome.
Oh, cool. We wanted to rock and roll a little bit. So, before we get any further into the show, our topics today include Rudy Giuliani and the firefighters, President Bush adding more troops, and naughty Newt Gingrich. Before we get too far into this, though, let's go to Will in the News.
Okay, the Political Universe time is 12:31, and here is the news. On Friday, President Bush approved adding 4,400 more troops to the force buildup, which is designed to bring security to Iraq. Bush also formally requested $3.2 billion to pay for the additional troops. Last January, President Bush announced that he would deploy 21,500 more U.S. troops to Iraq to try to bring stability to Baghdad and the Anbar province. The new U.S. military commander in Iraq, General David Petraeus, has recently said there will be a need for a troop increase to be in support of the buildup. Included in the buildup will be 2,400 military police to handle the expected increase in Iraqi detainees, according to Gordon Jandreau, spokesman for the White House National Security Council. About 2,000 more combat support troops will be additionally needed to strengthen the 21,500. According to U.S. military commanders in Iraq, the number of additional U.S. troops needed to carry out Bush's security plan for Iraq could reach 30,000. Taking into account units needed in support of the 21,500 extra combat troops. As part of the buildup in military forces, the Defense Department will be looking to open 129 temporary positions to help with the reconstruction of Iraq in its provinces. The United States currently has roughly 146,000 troops in Iraq. A Justice Department audit has concluded that the FBI has misused some provisions of the Patriot Act to covertly obtain personal information about individuals. The audit also found that for the past 3 years, the Bureau has underreported to Congress how often it has forced businesses to turn over personal data about customers. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said that the type of behavior documented in the report is unacceptable. He also ordered further investigation and said that the filing of criminal charges was a possibility. Attorney General Gonzalez told reporters that, quote, once we get that information, we'll be in a better position to assess what kinds of steps should be taken. There is no excuse for the mistakes that have been made, and we are going to make things right as quickly as possible, end quote. FBI Director Robert Mueller took responsibility for the behavior that the audit uncovered and later said that, quote, I am to be held accountable. The Inspector General went and did the audit that I should have put in place many years ago, end quote. According to the Patriot Act, intelligence agencies are allowed to use letters, also called administrative subpoenas, in suspected terrorism and espionage cases. These letters allow the FBI to require telephone companies, internet service providers, banks, credit bureaus, and other businesses to produce and turn over personal records about their customers or subscribers to the Bureau without a judge's approval. The Justice Department auditor found instances where the FBI demanded personal information without proper authorization or in non-emergency circumstances. The audit concluded that, quote, in many cases, there was no pending investigation associated with the request at the time the exigent letters were sent, end quote. Republican Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania said that it appears that the FBI, quote, badly misused national security letters. This is regrettably part of an ongoing process where the federal authorities are not really sensitive to privacy and go far beyond what we have authorized, end quote. Referring to what Congress gave the FBI, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy of Vermont commented that, quote, The report indicates abuse of the authority, end quote. He also went on to say that, quote, you cannot have people act as free agents on something where they're going to be delving into your privacy, end quote. While in Latin America, President Bush said, quote, those problems will be addressed as quickly as possible, end quote. On a 2008 presidential campaign trail, in a letter to its members on Friday, the nation's largest firefighters union accused Republican presidential candidate Rudy Giuliani of committing, quote, egregious acts, end quote, against the firefighters who died in the September 11th terrorist attacks. The 280,000-member International Association of Firefighters has been angry with Giuliani since his November 2001 decision to cut back the number of firefighters who were searching the site for the remains of 300 of their comrades. The union has claimed that Giuliani's main priority was the recovery of millions of dollars in gold, silver, and other assets from the Bank of Nova Scotia that had been buried in the rubble after the attacks. Quote, Mayor Giuliani's actions meant that firefighters and citizens who perished would either remain buried at Ground Zero forever with no closure for families or be removed like so much garbage and deposited at the Fresh Kills landfill, end quote, the letter said, adding, quote, hundreds remained entombed in Ground Zero when Giuliani gave up on them. What Giuliani showed is a disgraceful lack of respect for the fallen and those brothers still searching for them, end quote. The union said that the intent of the letter was to, quote, to make all our members aware of the egregious acts Mayor Giuliani committed against our members, our fallen on 9/11, and our New York City union officers following that horrific day, end quote. Giuliani's campaign has tried to defuse the impact of the letter by announcing the endorsement of his campaign by 100 South Carolina firefighters. The campaign has also released its own letter from retired New York firefighter Lee Ielpe. Quote, there is no one who respects firefighters and first responders more than Rudy Giuliani, end quote, Ielpe wrote. He went on to say that, quote, firefighters have no greater friend and supporter, end quote. A joke made Thursday night by Fox chairman Roger Ailes has led to the state Democratic Party of Nevada canceling the debate among the Democratic contenders for the White House. The debate, which was co-sponsored by Fox News, was to be held on August 14th in Reno. Ailes made the joke Thursday night at the Radio and Television News Directors Foundation's First Amendment dinner. Quote, it's true that Barack Obama is on the move, end quote, Ailes said during the speech. Quote, I don't know if it's true that President Bush called Musharraf and said, why can't we catch this guy, end quote. Almost immediately, Democratic contender John Edwards dropped out of the debate and liberal activist group MoveOn.org called for a boycott on Fox. In a letter sent to Fox, Nevada State Democratic Party Chairman Tom Collins and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said that Ailes, quote, went too far, end quote, with his comments. Quote, we cannot, as good Democrats, put our party in a position to defend such comments, end quote, Collins and Reid said in the letter. The letter went on to say that, quote, we take no pleasure in this, but it is the only course of action, end quote. Fox News Vice President David Rose responded with a written statement criticizing the Democrats for caving in to MoveOn.org. Quote, news organizations will want to think twice before getting involved in the Nevada Democratic Caucus, which appears to be controlled by radical fringe out-of-state interest groups, not the Democratic Party, end quote. And you are listening to The Political Universe here on Blog Talk Radio. Now back to Jason Easley.
Okay, Will. By the way, I knew you were going to stumble on egregious. I knew you were going to stumble on this as soon as I wrote it, and I was like, maybe he'll get it.
But I looked it up.
I looked it up. You can spell it, but you can't pronounce it. Now, William, what do you think about the additional 8,250 more troops needed in Iraq?
Well, how many more are we going to need?
That's my question. Where does it end?
Right.
But at first it was 20,000. Now they say we need another 8,250 in support personnel. Where does it stop?
Right.
When do you stop dumping more human beings into that mess?
Right.
I mean, you know, we all think of the numbers. We don't realize these are real people.
Exactly.
These are people with families and children and wives and girlfriends and husbands.
And they have their own dreams, too.
Lives are being uprooted and destroyed by this war. I still don't think that we can just up and leave. We have to stay until we get everything fixed.
Right.
But it's getting to the point where we just don't have the resources to continue throwing more troops in there.
Right, and of course, you know, it's throwing into deeper debt.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Mr. Fiscally Sound Democrat here. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, this war's going to cost $1 trillion.
Oh, yeah.
By the time we're done, this is going to cost $1 trillion, maybe even more.
And where are we going to get the money to pay for
we're
it?
We're going to borrow from China. We're going to do what we always do. We're going to borrow from the Chinese.
But, you know, again, how are we going to pay it off over the long run? I mean, it's not going to be it's going to be passed on to the next generation and possibly the generation beyond that.
Well, look how long it took the Democrats and Bill Clinton to start clearing up the debt left by Ronald Reagan.
Right.
It took probably 15 years. And that was much smaller than the war debt.
And we were $5 billion in the black?
Yeah, when Bill Clinton left office.
And now we're how
now
many?
Now the war
alone
has cost us $1 trillion, and we're what, I don't know how many hundreds of billions of dollars in debt we are.
Right.
It's unfathomable. It's actually a number that I can't comprehend. I cannot comprehend $1 trillion.
Yeah, I agree that we can't just pick up and leave because that's going to lead to bigger problems.
Yeah, it's just going to make things worse. But on the other hand, we can't keep dumping troops in. I mean, we should have a long time ago recommitted our forces to training the Iraqis. Actually, we should have never disbanded the Iraqi army when we came in.
Mm-hmm.
You can thank Paul Bremer for that decision.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad decision because it turns out the Iraqi army was sitting around willing and ready to join up with the Americans. They just wanted paid.
Right.
They said, if you're going to pay us, we're on your side. Armies are basically they're hired guns,
mm-hmm.
except in times of conscription. I knew I was going to get it right eventually. Except in times of draft or conscription, they're hired guns.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the Iraqi army would be more than willing to come over and maintain order.
But and what this is going to lead to is our domestic economics is that we're probably going to have to raise taxes.
Well, somebody will.
Somebody will, and who that person is.
Well, I think it's who that people might be, because it looks like the federal government trims domestic spending,
mm-hmm.
and then that falls down to the state and local governments, and then they're the ones left to raise your taxes.
Okay.
So the federal government can maintain a promise that they have not raised your taxes.
So that's a form of trickle-down economics.
It's a form of trickle-down taxation. It's passing the buck.
Right.
What it is.
And
now,
instead of dealing with the issue now, they're
pushing it.
Deferring it to.
Yeah, they're pushing it to. Bush is pushing it off on the next president, whether they be Democrat or Republican.
And that's an issue that's going to, you know, that I have a question about. How is it going to affect their candidacy when they're up for re-election? Because nobody wants to hear, well, your taxes are going to go up.
They won't say it. Nobody will say it. Nobody will say it. It'll just, like I said, the federal government will not raise your taxes. What will happen is they'll cut funding, so the state and local governments will have to raise your taxes in order to make up for the loss in funding.
Oh. Okay.
That's the way it's been done now for the last 10 years. I mean, Clinton started doing this. It's a nice way to say I didn't raise taxes if you're the president.
Right.
But in reality, on the ground, people like you and I feel tax increases.
And
it's just a matter of who's doing it to you.
And then the governors of the state feel the brunt of the political backlash.
We're almost left again. We're walking the line towards Pennsylvania politics.
Exactly.
And that's a different show.
Well, I just meant states in general, not really Pennsylvania, but just
in states in general. Yeah, that's the government. The governors bear the brunt, or the governors have to cut funding, and then local taxes have to be raised.
It
just keeps going down the line until it hits somebody at the end. And normally, the person at the end is the taxpayer.
Right.
They have to pick up the bill, whether they do it locally or federally, or statewide, they have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things have to be paid for.
Right.
People don't want to lose their services, but they don't want to pay more taxes.
Right.
And that's the conundrum of every public servant and every public administrator.
And no one wants to make the mistake that Walter Mondale did in the 1984 Democrat.
Say you're going to raise taxes and then proceed to lose 49 of it.
President Reagan didn't tell you that he's going to raise your taxes, but I just did.
Oh, yeah, way to lose 49 out of 50.
Boy, did his ratings plummet through the
basement. He wasn't going to win anything anyway. Now, have you heard the story about Newt Gingrich?
Yes, I have.
And him having the extramarital affairs while pursuing
Clinton's
impeachment.
Oh, yeah.
Now, have you heard of the Jerry Falwell has invited Gingrich to give the commencement address at Liberty University?
No, I have not heard
of
that.
Oh, I have a quote for you then. Falwell said, quote, "He, being Gingrich, has admitted his moral shortcomings to me, as well as in private conversations," Falwell wrote in a weekly newsletter sent Friday to members of the Moral Majority Coalition and the Liberty Alliance. And he has taught me in recent years to come to grips with his personal failures and sought God's forgiveness. He has told me that in recent years he has come to grips with his personal failures and sought God's forgiveness. Now, isn't this a little hypocritical?
I would say so.
Isn't this just a little bit hypocritical? Because aren't these the same people that bastardized Bill Clinton for his extramarital affair while president?
Yes.
But it's okay for Newt Gingrich to do it as long as he says he's sorry and he's looking to God to help him overcome his shortcomings?
Well, at least he's admitting it.
Yeah, it took a lot to get Bill Clinton to admit his affair. Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with what Bill Clinton did. In fact, I think in some ways the reason why I'm turned off on Hillary Clinton is because of what Bill Clinton did.
Right.
I don't morally agree with it. It's against everything I believe in. I mean, cheating. So I could never really vote for Hillary Clinton.
Well, anyone who holds the office of the presidency has to be a role model.
Yeah, and they have to at least be wise enough to appear to be above reproach.
Right.
You know, I mean, he can't be doing that. I mean, if he's an insurance salesman, nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the president. But we're getting off track. As far as Gingrich goes, that's a different show too. As far as Gingrich goes,
but he was probably one of the ones that led the
Gingrich led the charge. Gingrich led the charge to have Clinton impeached.
Right.
Everyone knew for years that Gingrich was an adulterer. I mean, it was one of the worst kept political secrets in America. So he's coming out with this now, and I think it's a sign of the desperation of the social conservatives that they're willing to forgive and forget, that they are so unhappy with Giuliani and McCain.
Mm-hmm.
Their leadership is willing to overlook something that, okay, if it turned out that Barack Obama had cheated on his wife,
they would be all over him.
Yes, yes. If it was John Edwards, you know, even if it was like
Ann Coulter would be all over him.
What's that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, if Al Gore had been cheating with, like, a chick from the Electric Company, you know, the TV show on people
right.
from your kids, not the Electric Company as in the people that provide utilities, they would have been all over him.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, Gingrich gets a free pass. And they tried to say it's not hypocritical because they were trying to impeach Clinton based on perjury and obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
But that perjury and obstruction of justice didn't really play well with the American public. What they were trying to sell it as to the Republican base is moral values.
Right.
So apparently this moral values talk is just a bunch of BS.
Right.
It doesn't matter. The social right, the religious leaders there apparently have no moral values either because they're willing to throw them away for one of their own.
Right.
I mean, I find Gingrich's conduct just as disgusting as I did Bill Clinton's. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I just want consistency.
Exactly.
Out of your views. If one thing isn't okay for a Democrat, then it isn't okay for a Republican. That's all there is to it. Now let's talk about Rudy and the firefighters.
Okay.
Now, do you think this is going to have any impact on him? This kind of allegations and anger.
I'm not too sure about that. It might. I mean, because, you know, 9/11 is still, and the heroic acts of the New York City firefighters is still ingrained in everybody's heads. But, you know, that's a good question.
Well, what do you think of the whole Giuliani is America's mayor thing? Have you ever bought into that?
Well, he did. I mean, he I will say this, that he did a good job, you know, on the actual day of 9/11,
yeah.
of keeping people informed. I mean, he was pretty much in a state of shock as everybody else was.
Well, here's, I've heard people say, but he was there on 9/11.
Right,
well,
he was there.
Well, where would you expect him to be? He's the mayor of
New
York.
He's the mayor of New York. That's a city.
He's supposed to be there.
He's supposed to be coordinating the emergency services.
That's what he's supposed to be doing.
Right.
I mean, I don't think there's anything heroic about being mayor while 3,000 other people who live in your city die. I don't think there's anything heroic about that. Yes, he might have been a good leader during that time. But to try to paint him as a hero or America's mayor, why isn't Ray Nagin America's mayor after Katrina?
But the one thing that struck me in looking back on that day, that he was the first to be on TV.
He was the face of calm and stability.
And everybody looked to him.
Which, that's really a backhanded insult towards the White House, though. Because you would think the president would have been the one all over TV and would have been the one reassuring people. But no, they went and they hid the president and Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
The president and Dick Cheney looked like they were afraid and they ran away and hid.
Well, the reason that he did that was that they did not know the scope of the attacks and they wanted to take precautionary measures.
But then why wasn't the president out in front of this a lot sooner? You know what I mean? At 4 or 5 hours after this happened. He should have been all over everywhere, TV, radio. Instead, I mean, it was pretty much a day before we really heard a lot from the president.
Right.
And Giuliani filled that gap in between.
Right. And I think everybody was looking to Mayor Giuliani for answers. And because I remember I was fixated to the TV, and I was, everyone's quiet. Rudy's on.
Houses.
What?
People weren't leaving their houses.
Right.
And they were just stuck to the TV. Well, it was. It's just such a generation-defining event.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those things that for people of a certain age, they're always going to remember where they were on 9/11. Like people remember where they were when Kennedy was shot. I mean, it's Pearl Harbor Day for the World War II generation. I mean,
yeah.
It's one of those generation-defining events. It's seared in your memory for the rest of your life.
But I will say that in the defense of President Bush and Vice President Cheney, that that Flight 93 was headed for the White House.
You defending Bush and Cheney? Oh, I know. I've stepped out on the ledge now.
Well, it's the national.
Well,
security.
I mean, I'm not talking about the time immediately after the attack. I'm
oh, okay.
About the time hours after.
Hours after. Okay.
When they knew within an hour what was going on.
Oh, okay.
That's what the 9/11 Commission report proved. They knew fairly quickly what was going
on.
Oh,
okay.
And once 93 was down out of the air and they knew there were no more planes.
Right.
What took the president so long to assume the leadership reins?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what would have happened if New York would have had a weaker mayor that didn't step up at that time.
Right.
But it's with Giuliani, I don't think this America's mayor crap is going to fly. I think you're going to hear a lot more criticism of him as time goes on.
Yeah,
nobody's perfect, and he's trying to sell himself as some sort of national security expert just because he was mayor and his city got blown up. How does that make you an expert on national security? If anything, it says you're not an expert.
I mean, if he was an expert on first responders. Then...
Yeah, then maybe so many of his first responders wouldn't have died. Or maybe if he wouldn't have put the Emergency Command Center in the World Trade Center.
Right.
more of his people might have lived.
I would have probably, if I knew that the World Trade Center was being hit,
But they knew it was vulnerable because of the attack in 93.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't put it there. I would put it somewhere.
Especially when they build a new command center across the Brooklyn Bridge. And they just decided, instead Giuliani and his political buddies made a push to put the command center in the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
Bad, bad decision.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would talk about that, because that's the kind of decision-making that can hurt a president. Now, if Giuliani wants to paint himself the leader after 9/11, I'm all for it.
Right.
Because he really was a leader.
Right.
But the mayor of 9/11 and some sort of national security guy,
That's glorifying the event.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
and you know,
you
I,
know and you're using that for your own personal gain
on the
souls of 3,000 souls that of 3,000 victims that died, and I think that's probably a sickening thing to say that you're glorifying someone. Yes, he did a good. I thought he did a good job, but it's let's move on.
I've always thought that you can't politicize this event.
Right.
I mean, it's disrespectful to the dead and the
right.
wounded, and it doesn't seem to stop them though. Both parties try to politicize it, and it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely repulsively disgusting.
Right.
And it should be above politics. It should be above reproach. I mean, everyone should agree on one thing, and that is we should capture Osama bin Laden, and we should do what needs to be done to fortify our domestic security.
Right, and there are other ways to be patriotic.
Yes, yes, yeah. I mean,
or to express your patriotism.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the same. It's just like what's going on with Walter Reed. The same people that tell us to wave the flag and be a patriot were treating our wounded troops and our outpatient wounded troops in a despicable manner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were getting substandard medical treatment in hospitals.
Oh yeah,
but
some were even denied care.
Yeah. Yeah, through bureaucratic red tape.
Well, that's through the Veterans Hospital Program.
Yeah. But who administers that? The Army, the federal government, the same people that are telling us to support the troops?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they let the troops down.
Right.
Now, it's just, I'll tell you, Will, it's just been one of those weeks where there's a lot of things that are getting on my nerves.
Right.
I mean, whenever you bring up, and just to rub salt in the wound, Osama bin Laden turning 50 yesterday.
If he's still alive.
He's still alive. He's living in his nice apartment in Pakistan.
And,
you know, probably going to the mall every Saturday, you know, signing a few autographs for the extremists.
And I think Musharraf could do a little bit more to help us out.
A lot more.
But, a lot know, more.
With friends like Musharraf, who needs enemies.
We forgave him his debt.
Yeah. And we've given him billions of dollars in military aid.
Right.
And the least he could do is hand us bin Laden.
Right.
I mean, I would. This presidency of George W. Bush is, I will consider a failure because of the Iraq War and not capturing Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
If he would have at least captured bin Laden, then I'd give him a higher grade.
Right.
Even though he's pretty much failed in domestic policy, he's failed everywhere else. 9/11 was such a huge event.
Right.
That needed justice to be served.
Right.
And it hasn't been. And that's one of President Bush's greatest failings.
Exactly.
Okay, Will, now it's time for our... Oh, what did you think about the Fox News Barack Obama joke?
Oh, geez. Typical Fox News.
Do you think the Democrats are being crybabies here?
No, I think that they're... I really don't think so, because... It's just that, you know, when I watch Fox News... You know, you always get a one-sided view of things.
Yeah.
And they are the ones, I think, who started the partisan battle, if you want to call that.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they're alienating a lot of viewers because of their opinions or the way they present the news. So,
do you think that it wasn't such a great idea for the Democrats to hold a debate and have it co-sponsored by Fox News?
Well, I think that they did it in good faith.
Yeah.
I think they did it in good faith, actually.
I mean, to me, that joke was directed at George W. Bush.
Oh, really?
I didn't see that as a joke towards Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought there was more of that, you know. But there was that subtle underneath connection that some Republicans are so good at with Obama. By connecting Obama to bin Laden, there's some sort of subliminal thing there. You know,
mm-hmm.
he look at him, he has an Islamic name, he's a terrorist, don't vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see it, but I think this has gotten a little blown out of proportion, and I do think it was a bad idea for the Democrats even to think about going on Fox News. Because how many voters are they going to reach going on Fox News for the debate?
Right.
That are going to vote for a Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
People are, you know, the people who watch Fox News are probably going to turn the channel.
They're very rigid, and they're very, as demographics have shown in profiles, they're very rigid and very set in their ways.
Right.
They're not open-minded people as a general group.
Right.
I'm not making any specific
Not saying that everyone is.
Not every single person, but as a general group.
Right.
You know, because there are lots of open-minded people who watch Fox News.
Right.
But, you know, just within the surveys I've seen, they tend to be less open-minded than, let's say, those that watch PBS or those that even watch The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, The Daily Show people are younger. Well, Will, believe it or not, we've come to the last minute of the program already.
Wow.
We
managed to fill up the whole half hour.
By really not talking, we're just talking about the news. Imagine that. A politics program that talks about the news.
Exactly.
Boy, oh boy, not a mention of Britney or Anna Nicole anywhere.
Oh, good.
So, I actually saw a headline, Will, saying, can Britney Spears be saved?
Oh, boy.
Well, in our last 30 seconds, tell me, can Britney Spears be saved?
That's a good question.
My question is, from what?
From what, exactly? What are her issues?
Is she playing out in traffic? Is she... is she drowning? I mean, what? But we're down to the last 10
Well,
seconds.
From what I heard, that her mom moved out to Los Angeles.
To try to keep an eye on her?
Yeah.
Okay, well, no more Britney Spears talk. Last time she was mentioned. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And that's the end of our show.